were dumping grounds for the steel that Europe wants to keep out. And I think the president should be more concerned with the American worker and not the WTO.
Tom Hargrove, the president of the United Steelworkers of America, Local 1010, criticizing President Bush for lifting tariffs on imported steel. Mr. Hargrove and many steel executives maintain that lifting the tariffs will hurt the American steel industry and steelworkers. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joined us now. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And the president announced Thursday he was rescinding the tariffs on foreign foreign steel. They were supposed to be in place for another 16 months.
Right.
Why did the president take this action?
Well, not to oversimplify it, when he instituted these tariffs, he became very popular in the steel-producing states, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Ohio, which have a total of 46 electoral votes. But he became very unpopular in Michigan, Minnesota, and Ohio with 37 electoral votes. Furthermore, the World Trade Organization was rather clever about the way it planned to retaliate, picking up like Florida oranges and Carolina pajamas so people know who would suffer from this. Plus, this was a very big chance to do something for the very loyal Prime Minister Tony Blair of Britain, who was now able to show Europe that his special relationship with President Bush did really count for something. Notice, however, that there's no President Bush soundbite on this change. Mm-hmm. You get Trade Representative Robert Zoellick is sent out to make this announcement, which is still very touchy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the European Union also said they were prepared to go to the mat on this, right? There could have been a trade war.
The World Trade Organization had already said that that this tariff was illegal.
What about the timing of the announcement? Why this week? What do you read into that?
Well, other than the fact that he undoubtedly wanted to get a fundraiser in Pittsburgh, the steel city, out of the way first, and take the opportunity while there to ask the steel people for understanding. He wanted to act before the World Trade Organization retaliation went into effect, which would cost $2.2 billion in duties.
Let's turn now to events in Iraq. I think we can fairly say the most prominent Shiite cleric there, the Grand Ayatollah Ali Sistani, says he wants national elections to choose members of the Transitional Assembly that will write Iraq's constitution. Now, the U.S. plan, of course, calls for delegates to be chosen in regional caucuses.
Exactly.
How big an obstacle is the Ayatollah's opposition, do you think?
Well, potentially very big, since 60% of the population is Shiite. But the Ayatollah Sistani has been generally rather cooperative with the coalition so far. It's very hard to read him because he will not meet with Administrator Paul Bremer or any other foreigners, but it's understood that he wants national elections very soon without all the preliminaries, and he wants a state that emerges to have some kind of Islamic character, Islamic identity. That's not to say that he wants an Islamic Republic like the Ayatollah Khomeini in Iran, but he sort of will have to be taken into consideration. Meanwhile, the guerrilla attacks continue, and Administrator Bremer thinks they will escalate as Iraq gets closer and closer to the election. One small hopeful sign. Yesterday, about 1,000 people, including with babies, marched through Baghdad supporting the coalition and saying that they wanted them to succeed.
President Bush yesterday appointed former Secretary of State James Baker as his personal envoy to try and seek a deal to restructure Iraq's foreign debt.
Mm-hmm.
What significance do you read into this appointment?
Well, Baker is a troubleshooter, and there's a lot of trouble to be shot over here. In the face of the massive reconstruction problem, the administration believes that the official Iraqi debt of something more than $100 billion, or maybe closer to $125 billion, is too crushing, and it has to come down. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of persuasion to go to France, Germany, and Russia, who hold a lot of these debts, and ask them to write them off. So you want the kind of a troubleshooter who can arrange the Florida recount. You got him.
Secretary of State Colin Powell yesterday met with the authors of I guess we can call it the unofficial Mideast peace plan that was drafted by a Palestinian and Israeli group in Geneva.
Yeah.
Met publicly with them, obviously over the objections of Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
What's in this plan that was brought forth in Geneva that you noticed?
Well, what's in this plan? It's just, it's almost 50 pages long, and I will not attempt to tell you all about it. Just give you a couple little headlines. All of the West Bank and Gaza would be turned over to the Palestinians. there would be a Palestinian capital in East Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, Palestinians would have to give up the right of return of refugees and descendants of refugees. So it's all the most neuralgic points are in there, faced rather directly. However, Secretary Powell indicates that the United States still likes its roadmap better. Mm-hmm. They're trying to figure out whether what has happened now in this unofficial initiative is more helpful or more harmful. It does ignore a lot of longstanding taboos. However, the question now is if it's going to bring a jump start into this, maybe it'll help. And if it becomes simply another point of contention, then maybe it won't. But it is quite remarkable how this thing came up more or less from nowhere and now is what everybody there talks about.
Mm-hmm. So in your mind, it is perhaps not just an academic exercise?
It's hard to know, Scott, what's academic in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. You think you're embarked on a really very solid journey somewhere, as with the road plan, as with Taba, as with Oslo, and then at somewhere at points it breaks down. If it is better for them to be talking about something than not talking about anything, mm-hmm. then it's good. I'm not sure I can go much further.
Okay. This week, the Bush administration said that they're going to permit Yasser Issam Hamdi, who was captured fighting for the Taliban in Afghanistan but born in the U.S., permit him to see a lawyer.
Yeah.
What's the reason, you believe, for the administration's decision now?
Well, it was kind of interesting that the announcement that Hamdi could at last see his lawyer came on the day before the Department of Justice filed a brief with the Supreme Court, asking that the Supreme Court uphold an appeals court decision that a wartime president could call people enemy combatants, could detain them without access to a lawyer. Mm-hmm. It may have the effect of making the administration's policy more defensible. However, do not intend to give up the right to detain an American whom they label as an enemy combatant.
Mm-hmm. Department of Homeland Security ended the program that requires men from Middle Eastern countries to register and be fingerprinted.
Right. Well, yes, so this rule required that men and boys from countries with suspected terrorist links, I don't know if this is a matter of sex discrimination, I'm just kidding, would have to come in finger many times, very, very often. There are 25 countries, mainly from the Middle East, that are included. Homeland Security says it's introducing a more tailored system, so maybe there's less here than meets the eye.
We're getting close to the presidential primaries, the caucus in Iowa and the presidential primary in New Hampshire, obviously first in the nation. There are, I believe, still 9 Democratic candidates.
Right.
Oh, let's put it this way. Who's on first? We've been trying to be issue-oriented for the past few
months. This is not an old baseball joke, who's on first.
No. Well, it depends on how you answer it, I suppose.
Okay. Well, Howard Dean is way ahead of John Kerry in the New Hampshire polls, 21 points ahead. He's also taken the lead in Iowa by 11 points. If he wins both of these, I believe it'll be probably hard to stop him. It is interesting that when you match in an opinion poll, Dean, who opposed the Iraq war and wants to repeal tax cuts, and match him against President Bush, you find out that he doesn't come out very well against President Bush. There is no Democrat as of today who could beat President Bush, but we have a long time to go.
Thanks, Dan Shore.